I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 18. This passage of scripture that I'd like to deal with, verses 15 to 18, actually begins the account of when Peter denied the Lord. Three times. I'm not going to go through the entire denial when he denied him three times. I'd like to look at the first denial when he did exactly what the Lord was going to say. Let's read John 18, verses 15 to 18. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. You know, whenever the Lord comes in mercy, compassion, and power to one of his own, to an object of his mercy, he gives them a new heart. He gives them something that they did not have before. He gives them a new nature. The scripture refers to it as a new man, a new creation, created in righteousness, holiness. It is a holy man. There's a holy man that is imparted into a believer. And that new man, that new creation, the scripture reveals, cannot sin. That which is born of God sinneth not. It sinneth not. Neither can it sin. Because it's born of God Almighty. It's not created like the first creation when we were brought into existence in this world, and that old nature of Adam that has come through the veins of every man, every woman since the fall. This is conceived by God Himself. But that new nature that is born from above and sinneth not is one that strives against the old nature. There's a war that's going on. There's a battle that's going on. And that battle that is going on has been revealed in these scriptures. It strives one against the other. They're contrary. There's no mixing of them. The nature with which we were born. That old man doesn't change. Not one thing is changed about the old man. There's nothing That old man is not reformed. He's not getting better. He'll never get better. That is that body of death that Paul prayed, "Who shall deliver me from this?" Now, I began to think on that just a few minutes ago while I was sitting here. Brother Pat was reading, and I thought on that old nature versus that new nature. And this question came across my mind. Why? Why would the Lord leave an old nature in a believer? Why would we continue to go through this world and struggle and strive? He could have, and you know this, he could have just upon conversion just obliterated that old nature. Wouldn't have been there anymore. Been perfect, holy, righteous people. There'd be no need to walk by faith. We wouldn't sin at all. There'd be no need for mercy. That's what you were reading about. His mercy endureth forever. And Almighty God has left that old man there. This is just not by accident. God Almighty, who made man, who created man out of the dust and breathed into him the breath of life, has made us and kept us just exactly the way we are. And we're walking through this world right now, sojourners, just pilgrims, struggling. And that new man sees exactly what's going on in himself and owns the fact. Talking about his old man, the new man says this concerning the old man, which is me, same me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that new man that sees that old man and acknowledges him and admits what he is, that old man doesn't admit to anything. And that's the only one that I can see in me. That's the only one that I can truthfully say, I see that one. Which of you that know him would say, oh, I can see the new man in me. And I see, at least in this part of my walk, where I have not sinned. I'm telling you, this is what I see, Mitch. Sin is mixed with all I do. Now, I'll start with my notes. Peter, the scripture says in verse 15, now the Lord has been betrayed. Peter's already taken off. He's taken that sword, cut Malchus's, you know, the high priest's ear off. Lord's healed him. And the scripture says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. So did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace. Of the high priest. Simon Peter followed Jesus. The Lord revealed, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. But oh, how weak is our following. Brother Don Fortner called me last night. We were just chit-chatting for a minute. I'd commented on a message that he preached in Ashland yesterday morning. And We got to talking about the weakness of a believer. And I was telling him what I've told you many times. I told him, I said, Don, I don't know anything about prayer. I said, I find myself so frail. I said, I'm 66 years old. And I said, my life, relatively speaking, I don't know how long I have. I don't have very long. I know that. And I said, I see myself so frail, so feeble. I'm going over my notes this morning, and I thought about that very thing as I read the account of what happened to Peter. Peter followed Jesus. But oh, in that following, how frail he was. Every believer will admit this. To will is present with me. I want to follow him. I want to be consistent. I want to walk after him. I want to be that which I ought to be. My conversation. But I want to show you something about Peter's following. Hold your place right there. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Peter, the scripture says, followed the Lord Jesus. He followed him. Matthew 26, verse 55 to 58. Let me show you what happened. This is how Peter followed him. Matthew 26, 55. In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The scripture says in John chapter 18, verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus. How did he follow him? Well, he ran first. He ran, and then the scripture seems to relate that obviously he stopped after a while and he turned back around. He followed him. They all fled. Peter, though, now comes back. And the scripture says that he followed afar off to see what was going to happen with the Lord as he sat with the servants. Fear caused him to follow afar off. Grace was the reason he followed at all, that he was still there. Peter and another disciple, and we're not told who it was, it's just the other disciple, went in with Jesus into the palace, that other disciple did. And then John 18, verse 16 says, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Obviously, the other disciple saw Peter standing on the outside and spoke to the damsel that was keeping the door. Surely, hindsight says it would have been better if Peter would have never gone in. You ever find yourself, you know, doing or saying something and just, you know, why didn't I just be quiet? Why did I why did I go? Why didn't I just stay where I was? But the Lord had told him. He said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, he could have stayed outside, could he not? No. The Lord had already told him what he was going to do. And Peter did just exactly what he wanted to do. The Lord told him, this is what you're going to do. This is what you will do. You will deny. Peter did what he wanted to do, and we do too. We do just exactly. So he came into the room where the Lord was. And verse 17 says, then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of... Now listen to the way she talks. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I'm not. Obviously, to this woman, the Lord is guilty. Well, he's been apprehended. The chief priest got him. They pretty well related to us. You know what all he's done. He's a troublemaker. He hangs around with sinners. Aren't you one of this man's disciples? No. And he walks in, and immediately he's questioned, and he denies it. Now you know it would seem as though the Lord had told Peter. I'll read this. Mark 14:30. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you that this day, in this night, now Peter, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in just a little bit, just a few minutes from now. Not long. In this night, before the cock crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. And this woman says to him, aren't you one of this man's disciples? What do you think would have gone through his mind? I'm not going to answer this one wrong, because the Lord just told me, He just told me, you're going to deny me three times. And I'm not going to do that. You think that probably would have gone through his mind. And without hesitation, he said, I'm not one of them. Brethren, we cannot stop ourselves. We cannot not sin. To will, I just read this, to will is present with me. I don't want to. But you that know him, let me ask you this. Do you have such control over that old man that you can stop him? Are you kidding me? Oh, wretched man. That's a wretched man. I cannot control him. Let me ask you something. How easily can you control your thoughts? I'm telling you, I am the same wicked evil. You have no idea the evil thoughts that go through my mind. You have no idea the things that I think or say or, you know. And it's as if when I do it, I know I did it. I know I did it. And it grieves me. And I can't stop it. You say, well, Marvin, you sound like to me you're out of control. Every one of you that know him agree with me. You cannot. You cannot. You're one of them. No, I'm not. This is Peter, the one that saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter witnessed the Lord, and the veil was just pulled back. His face, his clothes shined brighter than the noonday sun. He saw him take five little loaves of bread and two fish, and he fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He cleansed lepers. He saw him and knew him. He knew him. He knew him. Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. Well, some say Jeremiah, and some say this prophet, that prophet. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am, Peter? You're the Christ. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't tell you that. But my Father which is in heaven. Peter knew him, and knew him savingly. Knew him in reality. Aren't you one of his disciples? No. Oh, how little we know of ourselves. How little. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, this little woman right here, just not long before this, Peter was willing to take on 400 soldiers. A band. 400 to 500, it's somewhere in that area. At least 400 soldiers. And some priests and some dignitaries, Judas. He was ready to take them on all. To all of them. He took out a sword and was getting ready to do business. And now, a damsel, kind of reminds me of Ezekiel, Elisha. When Jezebel was coming after him, Elisha had just taken on 450 prophets of Baal. And a woman said, I'm going to get you. And he ran. This damsel says, you're one of them. And this guy that was getting ready to take on this little army just a few minutes ago said, no. Oh, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Let me tell you how strong we are. Now you listen to me. A puff of smoke is mightier than we are. Without him, you can do nothing. Nothing. And the servants, verse 18, and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Four things I saw in that last verse. Number one, it was cold. I'm sure it was cold outwardly. But there's a revelation of every believer with the presence of that old man. It's cold. Secondly, they warmed themselves. They warmed themselves. I can do something for myself. I can provide for my need. That's it. Thirdly, and Peter stood with them. You say, I'd never do that. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Let me tell you something. But for the grace of God, there's not one believer in this room that wouldn't walk away right now. You'd walk away right now if we were not kept by the power of God through faith. If He did not keep us, you'd quit. I'd quit and go do something else. And I'd never step into this pulpit again. But for the grace of God. Fourthly, Peter warmed himself. It just breaks my heart, because that's me. That old man in me, that's exactly what I do. And my new man sees it and agrees with what's going on. And thanks God, thanks the Lord, that His mercy does endure. His mercy endureth forever. In closing, I want you to just turn to Isaiah 50. Isaiah chapter 50. In light that Scripture says that there was a fire and it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Isaiah chapter 50. Listen to this, verse 11. Isaiah 50, 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, and walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. You that kindle a fire to enlighten or warm yourself, that trust the arm of the flesh, rejecting the light of the world, despising the glorious light of the gospel, of God's grace, and love darkness rather than light, that compass yourself about with sparks which have really no heat. It really doesn't produce any, all the sparks. It looks good for a second, half a second. And walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that you've kindled, and take comfort and satisfaction in your own works and the lies of this world's religion. This shall you have of mine hand. This is what you can depend upon, that you're going to receive from me. You're going to lie down in sorrow, and you're going to die in your sins. But you said, yeah, but Peter was doing that very thing. I know it. I know he was. And but for the grace of God, that would put away the guilt of this man and this man right here and everyone in here that knows him in truth. But for the grace of God, we who find ourselves manifesting the same characteristics too often, doing the same thing too often. David? You mean King David, a man after God's own heart, that took Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, had her husband killed, lied? What was the difference in David and any other person that would do the same thing, but apart from the mercy of God Almighty, and God choosing to show mercy to that one? What was the difference? The grace of God. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Peter was doing just exactly what those that he stood with were doing. And God chose to show mercy to Peter and left the others in their sin. Oh, the horror of trying to warm myself, to stand with them. Truly, if the Lord should mark iniquity, who should stand? My friends, let me tell you something. The only hope that you and I have is that God Almighty has chosen to show mercy, because there is no difference in any person that knows Him and those that know Him not. Outside of the grace of God, there's no difference. We find ourselves doing exactly the very same thing. And hate it. Oh, may I be as blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. May I be as Peter. Peter saw the Lord walking out in the sea there and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. He said, come. Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water and saw the boisterous wind and began to sink. Lord, save me. And the Lord said to him as he reached and saved him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Lord, today we confess our frailty and desperately, desperately cry from a new heart, seeing that old man that is us, Lord, have mercy on us today for Christ's sake.